the agreement that was recently.
Mr. Baxter, we're having a little trouble hearing you.
Oh, sorry about that. How's this?
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you for catching that. So in the agreement that was recently signed and made, the copay for next year will be 17% of the actual premium for the teachers, and in the fiscal 23 it will be 18% of the actual of the projected premium in fiscal 23. I'm not sure.
Okay, here's my question. It's really, now this is for the chairperson of the school committee. I think your name is Judy Corpton. The question I want to ask is, and I heard Mrs. Sinapi talk about some of the meetings that he's attended in the past. I happened to attend a meeting 2 years ago. Karen Backus was school committee chairman at the time. She was talking about the contract they were going to sign, the contract right now. And Karen Backus had said at that time, going forward with the new contract, which was just signed, we cannot afford to give the teachers any raises for the 3 years. We can't afford it. And we have to, at minimum, raise the copay for healthcare to 20%. I got to be candid with you. I was flabbergasted. Never expected that statement from Ms. Backus. I asked her to repeat it. Now, by the way, Mrs. Sinapi was there. I think the gentleman's name is Kyle Adams, who's on a school committee. He was there. So the superintendent who was leaving was there. She repeated it. So my question to Judy is, why did Ms. Backus have that observation looking over the numbers, and yet you didn't follow her lead and you did grant raises? Can you explain that to me?
I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Baxter. He has the numbers, and he was my chief advisor on all of this, and he will explain it to you.
Judy, you have the ultimate say on it. You vote on the contract. Mr. Baxter might give you some information. You vote on it.
Excuse me, sir. I was just asked if I was consulting with my people. And I went fully with Mr. Baxter's numbers. And eventually we got down to go to court, mediation, arbitration, or go with our numbers. And the teachers union agreed to use our numbers that Mr. Baxter compiled. I was also told it was financially sound to do what we were doing.
I didn't make any frivolous,
this is what we're doing and I don't care kind of remarks that I feel that this is going towards. I was completely under advice.
Please don't misinterpret what I said.
We're coming off a pandemic, sir. Okay.
I understand that.
Right.
And did you listen? Excuse me, ma'am.
Excuse me, guys. Now let me speak. We're going to Mr. Durant, please hold. We're going to have one person speak at a time. I believe that the chairwoman, she gave her answer to this position. If you have another question, please ask that.
No, I just want to make a comment. Let me make a comment to what she just said. She said we're coming off a pandemic. But if I heard correctly what Mayor Picozzi talked about initially in his presentation, he talked about the financial hardship in the city of Warwick for the taxpayers. So there's really two sides to the equation. But let's get back to, what is our copay? 17% this year?
Going to hand
how much? How action. Much? Do-
Hello, Mr. Durant. Yes. To go back. So our the amount to be contributed by the Warwick teachers regarding their co-shares for the health insurance will increase by about $630,000compared to if there were no change to the contract. So, and that's in fiscal 22, and then an additional over $300,000 in the following year. So we're looking at about $1 million increase in copays over 2 years.
What you're suggesting as from this year versus next year, a 1% increase in copay health care gets us $300,000. Is that what you understood you to say?
No, sir.
Okay. No,
sir. It's a little bit more, and I'd be happy to send you the additional information, and the financial impact report is posted on our website for that level of detail. But what I am saying is that the additional premiums collected between what would have transpired if there were no change in the contract terms and next year, based on the rates for fiscal 22 are over $600,000. And then based on the projected rates for fiscal 23, it's an additional $371,000, or like I said, roughly $1 million increase in fiscal 23. The detail probably is too much for this. But it's posted on our website, and you can see it. You can download and read the fiscal impact statement for the contract.
Just an observation. So in other words, if we increase it 1%, we could just about cover the $500,000. We'll come pretty close to it. Next question. I read in the Beacon that the student ratio in Warwick is 8-1 versus 12-1 statewide. Can anybody explain to me why?
Again, I'll feel that in basics. It's as we stated in the budget document, our professional staffing was maintained relatively declined about 5%. As compared to a roughly 13% decline in our enrollment. And so we were not matching our staffing with our enrollment. However, I think it's important to add and to clarify for the public that this administration is attempting to readjust and align our professional staffing with the enrollment for fiscal 22 and get back to our previous staffing ratios.
Now, you mentioned pandemic and all that stuff, not you, but it was mentioned during the conversation. How much money, did we save any money with pandemic, like bus transportation and all that?
No,
because
absolutely.
Obviously kids weren't going to school. Did we save money because of the pandemic?
Absolutely not. That's a misconception. So pandemic response is actually more expensive in terms of additional cleaning protocols, additional staffing, I could go on and on. And actually there's budget detail in the attachments. If you'd like, we can go into the detail, but no, it's instead of a savings, it actually cost us about $8 million.
Who paid for that? Is that the federal government stimulus?
There are two, or really three programs. There's the COVID relief fund, the original ESSER funds. Those were authorized by the government last summer. There was what we were referring to as the ESSER II funds that were authorized in December of last year. And yes, they are. How we funded those, predominantly those, COVID related expenses.
Okay. Well, you got a lot on your plate tonight. So that's my questions for now. I appreciate the comments.
Thank you very much. If we could unmute the next caller, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, this is Darlene Netko, lifelong resident of Warwick, 33 years teaching, 31 in Warwick, homeowner, taxpayer, voter. president of the Warwick Teachers Union, dedicated to education in this city and dedicated to the city. And I just want to follow up on a comment that the previous caller made, that the oven allegedly has been big enough over the last 12 years. In fact, it has not, because for some reason, our outgoing superintendent and various members of the school committee who have mentioned this in the past have not brought up the fact that 12 years ago, this city, the only city in the state, underfunded our schools by a full 5% below the maintenance of effort and was the only city not to return that funding. So in effect, the schools have been in a structural deficit since that year, which was 2009, 2010, around that in the during the recession. Furthermore, there were a number of years that Warwick Public Schools paid the debt service on the bond, paid the interest on the bond that no other city or town in the country would have paid. And a previous member of the school committee mentioned that numerous times in public. So the schools have been operating under a deficit, that full 5% below the maintenance of effort that was never restored. And that's why the last couple of years, the superintendent's recommended budget was $11 million over, $8 million over, that we had problems, we needed money. It's fascinating to me why all of a sudden we have forgotten the fact that the city underfunded the schools. And this is not a knock against anyone currently serving on the city, because I don't think any of you were either on the city council, and we certainly had a different mayor 12 years ago. So I just think that the public needs to remember that the schools have been operating under a deficit. And it is not a deficit that the teachers have caused in any way. And I also question the student population numbers. By my own calculations, we have 400 more students in our schools right now than our school department is reporting. I also want to talk about student ratio, because there was a question about why our student ratio might be off. Well, when we do student ratio, it isn't just classroom teacher to number of students in the classroom. Remember, we have support professionals, we have special ed teachers, librarians, guidance counselors, social workers, psychologists, school nurse teachers. All of these members go into this ratio. And so maybe we have more special ed teachers or guidance counselors or social workers than other districts might have, or we distribute our personnel differently. But there are a number of factors that go in to the budget and to the staffing and so on. And I'm just tired of the teachers coming as the problem here, because we just came off a year starting in March 2020 when teachers worked harder than they ever worked in their lives. And some of you may not believe it, but teachers work pretty hard. And over the past year, we've had to teach virtually, hybrid, in person. Right now, the secondary schools are full in-person, hybrid, and virtual at the same time. Elementary teachers basically have been teaching three different classes all year with what they've had to do. And there was no raise for this year. The day-to-day substitutes are being paid three or four more times than what they normally would be paid. And yet the teachers did not get any extra pay this year. Last time, you want to know why the outgoing superintendent was not involved in negotiations. Well, back in 2015, he went to one mediation session and then decided he couldn't handle it and went to interest arbitration and cost this district over $500,000 in interest arbitration. And by the way, that arbitrator is the one that awarded those salary increases. So I just wanted to set the record straight. And in these regards, and just to say, You have a very dedicated, qualified teaching staff in this district, pre-K through 12 plus, because we have transition programs, plus we have the Career Center, we have the preschool, we have kindergarten through grade 12, and every one of our teachers is dedicated to providing the best education they can to the students in this district, despite the commotion that happens at this city level. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nicko. Are there any more members of the public that would like to speak on the schools? Okay, if we can let the next person go.
Hello. My name is Nathan Cornell, and I'm vice chair of the Warwick School Committee. So the first thing I want to say, I would like to thank the school administration for doing a great job in presenting. I think actually this is probably the best school department, Warwick School Department presentation from administration that I've ever seen. So thank you to all of you. You all did a great job. I also would like to speak in favor of the school department presented budget, including the $500,000 increase. The $500,000 increase, it's not just asking for money. Like, this is money that can be very useful for our programs. I remember as a student, like, being in a music program. The music program was funded, but we always lacked instruments. We always didn't have enough. And you had the same issues with sports, theater. Like, they might be funded, but they're not sufficiently funded. And therefore, you have to have the teachers have to buy supplies for themselves. And it's just so this $500,000 are needed for schools so they can help those student programs. And right now, after a pandemic, the things these students need is these programs. All I have to say is I'm in favor of tonight's budget. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If we can let the next caller unmute, please.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hi, I just had a couple questions. My question is, I don't know if you have it pulled up. Is there a comparable pricing as far as what the, let's say, East Greenwich, because I heard that name being tossed around, how their school system is doing well as far as scores is concerned to ours? Is there a budget that we could see that is comparable to theirs? Are we overspending compared to them?
Could you please identify yourself?
My name is John. I live in the city near Kamimikit.
John, we do need your last name for the record. The city clerk needs it for the record.
Lugo, L-U-G-O.
Thank you, Mr. Lugo. Mr. Baxter?
Well, yes, thank you very much. So I don't have off the top of my head what the per pupil expense is for East Greenwich. I don't know. But I can look into that and get a report back.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking is I've been living in the city for quite some time, and I just haven't seen any good improvement as far as the school system is concerned. Even the council members have been kind of keeping track of as far as the meetings is concerned. Such as, which I don't understand why Nathaniel Cornell pretty much wanted to just come in and just glow as to his accomplishments when he doesn't even have a child that goes to the school system. I do. And I just don't feel as though the rights and the voices of the actual parents are being heard into these major decisions. As a taxpayer, I don't want more money being thrown at a school system that is currently not at par with other cities. I think, especially of what I heard from another council member that stated that we lost children because we're not comparable, and yet we're still spending more money. So my concern is, I don't want money to be thrown at a wall and to see what sticks. I want to make sure, before we start adding all these new programs, which I'm not aware as to what programs are you planning to Actually, that is a good question. What is the programs you want to start implementing into these schools? Because I hear that being thrown around.
I believe Mr. McCaffrey already addressed that earlier on this evening. He listed off a number one of the proposals.
Okay. So my understanding is also someone else brought it up too, is the whole copay. Is that something that is off the table? Is the contract already signed by this, the teachers union? Medical copay.
Yes, that has been agreed to. I think by both parties.
Okay. So it seems like you're giving more monies to these teachers at a time where there's a pandemic, people are out of work, it's harder to pay taxes, it's harder to do everything as an actual citizen, and then you want to increase the budget so that way it hurts the citizens themselves. I want to make sure that the budget that you guys are using right now are being used effectively.
Yep. Mr. Lugo, first I have to say I wholeheartedly, and I would even say as a friend of mine used to say, violently agree with you. And I think that's one of the commitments that Ms. Danbrook, myself, and Mr. McCaffrey and our teams are with you. And to give you one example, we're going through our buildings and reclaiming instructional space that might have just been lost and put aside. We're just cleaning up the place, so to speak. We're examining our old assumptions and trying to get back on track. So I wholeheartedly agree with you. We are very concerned about this, to use your term. Well, it wasn't your term, but your point or your concern about spending good money after bad, that's not where we're going. We started from a ground up philosophy and are looking at new programs where needed and new solutions where we can to generate more revenue and optimize the expense dollars that we have. Regarding the recent contract, I think, it's extremely reasonable. It's without going into too much detail, but we're looking at a slightly over 1% raises if you average it out over the 3-year term of the contract, plus a significant increase in teacher co-pays. And again, we're trying to get back on a good footing fiscally. It's got a modest fiscal impact. It's got a modest fiscal impact of less than $7.5 million over the 3 years, compared to the previous contract, which was about $27 million. So we're trying to level set and get back into a good footing here. We're readjusting our staffing. We've got a reasonable contract with the major collective bargaining unit. And most importantly, we're trying to reallocate our funds where they'll have the most impact. Again, like you, Mr. Lugo, I've been in the city. When we used to pay taxes with chickens and goats, for crying out loud, that long, I've been here for a long time, all my life. And, I'm passionate about and the folks who know me will testify to this. I'm passionate about seeing an improvement in the school system, and I'm not very happy about paying any more taxes than I absolutely have to. So I weigh those concerns as we put this budget together, and I certainly am constantly aware of the concerns of the taxpayers in the city. And I think the school committee, and if you watch some of the school committee meetings, you will have seen that that passion and that concern come through. So I can assure you that we're working to address those concerns. In other words, we're trying to make the most out of the funding that we have and to clean up, if you will, and get back on a firm footing. I don't know if
I appreciate that you telling me these things. It's just that, and I'm sure that you've been getting a lot of information from all the citizens in the city. I feel as though the past year, and I understand this has been a very bad year with COVID, my voice, my child's voice, my wife's voice just hasn't been heard. We wanted her back in school. And I know this is a very divisive topic that we're going into right now. We wanted her to go back to school. We wanted her to stop wearing masks. We wanted certain things. And all we got is, we can't do it. She didn't do well at school. If anything, she did not, she did worse off than she did the first couple of years before COVID. And I feel as though the council members who were in charge of the school systems did not listen to the parents, didn't give us a chance. They don't even have kids that go to these schools, and they're making decisions that affect my daughter's future. And I just feel as though the extra millions of dollars being put to the school system that's already failing because they're not listening to the parents, they're only listening to the unions, it's not what I'm looking for. And I understand where you're coming from, and I do think that they do need to get paid what they need to get paid, but I want to make sure that the money's being used efficiently. I appreciate your time. I know you really can't answer all that, but I want you to keep an eye on it.
Thank you very much, sir. Are there any more questions from members of the public on the school department? Okay, hearing none, we're going to, Councilman Lannister, you have your hand up. I'll give you the last word, then we're gonna move on to the next department.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We're here tonight, we're discussing the largest portion of our budget, which is the school department budget. It's a $174 million budget, represents 52% of the taxpayers' dollars. And with all due respect, I object to cutting off a member of the public, a taxpayer, from asking the questions that they are entitled to ask. We may not agree with those questions. We might not even like those questions. But at the end of the day, the taxpayers who are paying the bill for our $334 million budget, I believe they have the right to ask the questions that they need to ask without being cut off. So again, with all due respect, I strongly disagree with that practice taking place. I do have a question for Rob. Rob, the healthcare costs for, how much did the healthcare costs go up for the fiscal year 2022 versus the previous year in dollars and cents?
Well, it's I'll give you both. It's a 4% increase. The total premium for a, give me 1 second. I got that right here. Give me 1 second. Un momento, por favor. Fiscal impact. Here it is. So the the total, if you're asking for like the a family plan, went up about $1,000.
No, the total cost of the healthcare plan for the school department. How much did it go up for fiscal year 2022 versus 2021?
Gotcha. Hold on. Give me 1 second.
Sure. Thank you.
It'll increase about the total premiums paid will increase about $850,000 next year.
For fiscal year 2022.
And over fiscal 2021. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And what do you anticipate it increasing for fiscal year 2023?
About $1.3 million from fiscal 22 to fiscal 23.
So a total of $2.1+ million increase in premiums to the taxpayers in year 2022 fiscal year and in 2023 fiscal year. Correct?
Yeah, yeah. I think you're, if I understand you, it's a cumulative impact of about $2.1 million.
Right. And the increase in copay that we spoke about earlier was a total of $971,000.
Right.
It was $600,000 in 2022, $371,000 in 2023.
So it's about just a little over $1 million total cumulative. Actually, to your point, no. So to your point, it's $637,000 in the first year,
right?
Plus one million. If we're doing a cumulative, pardon me.
Plus $371,000.
No. Plus. Because to compare, Councilman, right? We want the cumulative number, which is $1,008,000 cumulative in fiscal 23, plus $637,000 in fiscal 22. So the comparable would be $1,645,000 cumulative over the 2 years.
Okay, so now I'm confused because you had said maybe you were just talking about what the increase would equal. You had said the increase would be $638,000 in year 22 and $371,000 in year 23.
Yes, but compared to the cumulative increase that you asked for in the total premiums, the cumulative increase in the total premiums collected in terms of copays is $637,000 in the first year plus $371,000. Remember, because you're you are considering the, if I understand you correctly, you're considering the fiscal impact of the TA, and that's, we are collecting $371 million in addition to the original $637,000 collected in the second year.
You're not collecting $371 million.
I'm sorry, $371,000 plus the original $637,000. You're collecting them both as an increase in the second year. That's $1,008,000 plus right. the original $600,000 for the first year. So it's a total of about $1.6 million.
I still am confused. So we said in year 22 it's going to increase 1%, and in year 23 it's going to increase 1%. But what I understood was that the increase was going to be $638,000 in the first year and $371,000 in the second year. Rob, the number I'm looking for is only what the additional premium paid in would be for the next two fiscal years over the current portion or over the current copay.
Yep, I understand. Yep, so that's why I'm saying. So if we maintain the current copay, which is about, I've got it right here. It's about 30. Let me just step back. So at the current copay rate, fiscal 21, okay, that is about 13%. I think it's like 13.3% versus the 17%, agreed upon in fiscal 22. So the difference between the 13% and the 17% is $637,000. Agreed? We're good with that, right? Okay.
Right.
Now if we pay that forward, it'd be about 12%. So if we didn't change it, if we didn't have the TA, we didn't change it, it would be roughly 12% going into fiscal 23. So the difference between the 12% and the 18% is about $1 million. So the $1 million extra in fiscal 23 plus the $637,000 in fiscal 22 is a total of $1.6 million additional premiums collected over the 2 years.
Okay, that's the number I was looking for. So roughly $500,000 less than what the cost of healthcare is actually going up to the taxpayers.
Yes. Yep. Correct. So to your point, the total increase is not borne by the teachers. That's correct. Part of it is borne by the district.
Okay. And lastly, as was asked earlier, I would like to hear from the two members of the school committee that voted no on the additional $500,000. I'd like to hear what their reasoning was for voting no on that. Are those two members
Councilman,
here?
Councilman, with all due respect, I don't think we need to call on people to defend votes that they've taken. They had their time at the, they were able to express that in their forum. I just don't want to think we want to be start putting individuals that take votes and other things on the spot here to defend their vote. They spoke about that. They've already given their position.
Well, Mr. President, again, with all due respect, the individuals that voted in favor for it certainly expressed their reasons and rationale and did very well at why they support it. So what's wrong with hearing
Councilman, they had the opportunity to speak, just like when Mr. Cornell raised his hand and the chairwoman spoke on behalf. They had their opportunity to speak. So if you have any more questions to the school department on the budget.
No, I have that question. You know, why did those
okay, two thank you very vote? Much. Thank you very much, Councilman. Okay, sure. Seeing no more questions from the city council, at this time, we will call on Mr. Schaefer, who I believe wanted to say a few words before we start with the next department, which will be the Board of Canvassers.
I'm just going to reiterate most of the things that the mayor went over. And we're really changing gears here a little bit. And what he talked about was his initiatives, recalling city employees who were laid off about a year ago, a new firefighter class to reduce overtime, authority for over $6 million in equipment acquisitions, the signing of a lease, which the council approved last week, for the Sawtooth Building to consolidate city services in Appanag across the street from City Hall. There's an infrastructure pledge from American Rescue Funds to the Sewer Authority and to the Water Department. But the other thing I want to talk about was the unique revenue situation that we had. We're going to be receiving American Rescue Funds of $39 million to be received over 2 years. And we received, I think, $11.8 million at the beginning of the week on Monday. That's the amount that's paid directly from the federal government to the city of Warwick as a CDBG entitlement community. We'll be receiving another portion, hopefully this month, but certainly before the end of our fiscal year, as our share of the county of Kent County. Warwick is about 49% of Kent County, so we'll be receiving almost half of the Kent County share. That would be distributed through the state. So, but if you read the budget message, we're preserving, reserving, deferring much of that $39 million. We'll have $18 million to help us with the following years, fiscal year 23, fiscal year 24. So that while the financial statements show that we'll be drawing down on fund balance in the 22 budget of close to $6 million, nevertheless, we've reserved over $18 million to help us deal with the city budget in the future year, whether it's just part of it could be the school department, but much of it may be other city services. So that's the real theory of the budget. And now I'm happy to respond to any questions, but I'm also ready for you to proceed right away to the next, to the first department, which is Board of Canvassers.
Yes, we will start with the Board of Canvassers, please. And if you could just have the director or whomever just give us the page number in the budget and in the budget and the supplement and the personnel budget as well.
Page number in the budget is 15. The personnel page is 7. We have Dottie McCarthy here, the clerk of the Board of Canvassers. There's a decline of almost 7% because of there's no general election next year. Dottie?
The only major expense that we do have this year, fiscal year going forward, is for redistricting, which is done the second year after census. So it's done every 10 years, and in 2022, the redistricting will have to be completed. And we do have a budget of $80,000 for that, which is in line from 10 years ago also. Other than that, no elections, we hope.
Well, thank you very much, Director. And I also want to thank you. There was a number of new changes and a number of elections that your office did a tremendous job. The in-person voting, the early voting, getting people in, and you guys did an outstanding job. And I just want to thank you for your great work this year.
Thank
Any
you,
questions from members of the council? Councilman Sinapi.
She took my thunder, and Dottie also took my thunder because she's too good at her job. She answered my question about the $80,000 for the redistricting.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the council for the Board of Canvassers? Okay. Any questions from the members of the public on the Board of Canvassers? Okay. Seeing none, we will move on to the city clerks.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I'd just like to add that this is Dottie's last budget hearing. She's retiring this summer. I'd like to publicly thank her for her service to the city all these years. Everyone that's ever run for office in this election has been in this city has been helped by Dottie tremendously.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Dottie. Congratulations on your retirement. And I hope there's many beautiful beach days down in Matunuck for you.
There will be, and elections have been my pleasure, but it's time to leave.
We're all invited to Matunuck, right?
What?
We're all invited to Matunuck, right?
Yeah, okay. Now I'll have to cook for you, right? I'll set you. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next up is the city clerk's budget.
So this will be pages 12 in the operating budget. Personnel pages 2, 3, and 4. Because we're going to cover city clerk office, the probate court, municipal court. Linda Braska is here. You'll see significant increases in the clerk's office and probate court associated with restoration of staffing, which was discussed in the mayor's budget message and we referred to previously.
Okay, thank you very much. And thank you, Lynn, take your time.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Double duty here for you.
All right, so like Mr. Schaefer stated, we do have my positions being restored. I have one eliminated that's being reinstated. I still have 3 vacancies. We have no raises other than contractual. And that's about it. Is there any questions?
Okay, and for council members, Lynn is here to speak about the city clerk's budget, the probate court budget, and the municipal court budget, as she is the head of those things. Councilman Gephardt.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you. Yeah. I just had one in your appointment hearing. We talked a bit about what your plans for the future might be in terms of you know, modernization of the clerk's office and ways we might be able to leverage technology to make the jobs a bit easier. I'm just wondering if the budget accounts for any of those ideas or initiatives. So I'll leave it at there. That's my only question.
I'll have a staff, which I haven't had for quite some time. So once I have a staff, I can implement things that we're trying to take care of in the office.
Okay. So that's a future planning effort.
Well, I hope
nothing
so.
Teed up yet. Okay.
I've been without a staff for quite some time. Quite some time.
All right. Well, we'll be glad to have them back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council on the city clerk's budget, the probate court budget, and the municipal court budget? Okay. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on the city clerk's budget, the probate court budget, or the municipal court budget? All right. Seeing no hands raised. Thank you very much, Madam Clerk.
Thank you.
We will move on to the legislative budget.
And, you know, when budgets are put together, there are usually mistakes. And this is the only mistake I've really found in terms of which you noted right away, was our decision just to give the council their request. Somehow between, I've tracked it somewhere between April 7th and April 23rd, an additional dollar amount was added to the council's budget, which was not requested. And whatever way we need to do it to get that out of there, we're ready to do that.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Schaefer. Yes, we appreciate the generosity, but we were looking for an actual overall 2% reduction in our salary from the previous year. For personnel, we did put in for a increase of the 2.75% for the Director of Legislative Services, as she does not get that as part of her contract and has not had a raise in a number of years. So we did put that in, and we reduced the professional services budget. Any questions from members of the council on the legislative budget? Any members of the, I see a hand up. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So what is the number that we're going to have to adjust on our budget?
Good question. We submitted a overall department total budget of $327,201. And I believe the difference will come from professional services. And we had a line item for professional services for $160,000. So it would be an overall reduction of the budget for 2%, including adding the raise to the Director of Legislative Services. 2% overall deduction.
So the net amount that we have to change our budget from right now is proposed at 380,386. What is the actual number going to be?
It will be $55,000 less. Is what?
$55,000. Okay.
And we will make that amendment on the night of the budget.
Okay.
I apologize to the council for that.
Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Briefly, we do not anticipate that relatively small cut to the professional services line item to interfere with our abilities to, say, have the actuaries present, have the various professional services to speak broadly and to give the precise name of the budget line 16-360. We don't anticipate that to have an impact on the information that we receive as a city council.
Correct, Councilman. We actually were looking to reduce it even further, but we wanted to make sure we had the proper resources that that we would have those resources available. So I worked with the council pro tem on this and the finance director. So we wanted to, that was one of our big concerns as well, as we didn't want to cut too much because we want to make sure that we have the resources available to provide the best bang for our buck, if you will.
Thank you. I think looking at the previous years that that's a fine number. I think it's something that we can certainly work with. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on the legislative budget at this time? Any members of the public? Okay, hearing none, we will go to council claims. And that is on page
53.
Sorry. I heard.
Councilman McAllister, have you in charge of the department?
Okay, 53. So council claims. So this, correct me if I'm wrong, this has to do with our when we have the public safety, when you put in for different claims from the city, this is how we pay them out. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. That is what we proposed here. Any questions on the claims? Okay. Any questions from members of the public on the council claims? Any questions from the members of the public on council claims? All right. Hearing none, we will now move on to tourism, culture, and development.
This would be Bruce Kaiser, pages 41 and 42 of the budget, 31 and 33 of the personnel supplement. The city planning, and Bruce will explain both of these, but there's some major pass-through grants which make the planning department look like it's going up significantly, but it's principally because of some state pass-through grants, which are summarized on the divider page in the budget, and that Bruce can summarize for you.
Council President McAllister, I'll start with tourism, culture, and development. As you know, from your years on the council, Tourism, Culture, and Development Department is funded entirely through outside revenues. It's distributions from the city's share of the hotel tax revenues attributed to activity at hotels in Warwick. This is obviously a very economically sensitive revenue source, and during the pandemic, we saw a substantial reduction in receipts from the hotel tax. In fact, they were down 60% during the current year. It affected our staffing levels. We currently have one staff member left in the department. We're looking to beef up in the coming year. We were fortunate in that, as you can see in the budget, during the first CARES stimulus program in the latter of 2020, the department city received $266,000. Which assisted in backfilling some of those lost revenues that were expected in the first half of the year. Peter earlier spoke about the American Rescue Plan monies. Those monies, or those that source of funds, is targeting hotel promotion very distinctly. And in fact, the benchmark year of 2019, which the city received $847,000, will serve as the base year to determine how much of the American Rescue Plan monies we can utilize in the current years of 2021, as well as 21, 22, and 22, 23. We will be able to fully operate at pre-pandemic levels as far as staffing and promotion, and the budget reflects that level of effort.